It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
Rolling on just after 9 a.m. and we are cruising, talking about an absolute beatdown at SoFi Stadium last night. That place is really cool. Do you know what the stadium cost them to build?
Do not know.
The SoFi Entertainment Complex, as they like to call it, almost $6 billion. Billion. $6 billion. We live in an amazing city. We got freaking Soldier Field.
Yes.
That's what we've got.
That's what we got. Amazing. You could have like a nice stadium like that to be able to hold Final Fours and Super Bowls, but not here.
Nope.
Nope.
Not going to happen. Danny, you've been to L.A. a bunch. You love L.A. Have you been to SoFi?
I have not. They were built last winter when I was there. They were in the process of building it. It was almost ready to be open. So
have
I
you
saw
driven
it from
by
the outside. Yeah, it's amazing. It's right by the old Forum.
Yeah, and it's also where Hollywood Park Racetrack used to be, the horse track.
Oh.
So I guess there's a whole entertainment complex.
Correct. It's they're trying to build that whole area up and rejuvenate that part of Los Angeles.
Well, we got Rosemont.
Well, you know, you could build that stadium and then people to actually win the lottery could actually get paid from it. That's an idea.
There's an idea.
Really disappointed in what we saw last night, Cap, with the Bears. The Bears finished with a meager 49 yards on 17 carries, not running the football well. It's a microcosm of offense, defense, and special teams not working out at all. That's the thing. Like, it's one thing for the offense not to work, but the defense finally broke through where they could not be able to defend the Rams and how quick their tempo was. Hats off to the Rams. You got to give them credit. Their tempo had the Bears defense on their heels. That was frustrating to watch. And then on top of that, special teams. As Adam Rittenberg, our good friend who covers college football
nicest
for ESPN,
guy.
Said, nicest guy in the world. Even when you lost Rittenberg, you've lost everybody. He says, Ted Ginn should walk home from Los Angeles.
What is the point of, you save about $255,000, I believe, in cap space.
Yeah.
His money was not all guaranteed. I think $750,000 was guaranteed. If you factor it out, my math might be off. I'm not the smartest math guy, but I think it's about $255,000 or so. What benefit is there to a guy who basically runs on the field and says to you, the defender, hey, man, don't touch me. I'm going out of bounds or I'm not going to touch the ball.
Yes.
Do not hit me.
Yeah,
that's what he does. He's got what? Two catches? Stop yourself.
And Hecker was great on special teams for the Rams. And then, like, Ginn's like, oh, you want me to feel this? I'm not doing that. I'm walking away from it. And so it just pinned the Bears' ears back time and time again. The offense not working well. The defense giving up 14 points in the third quarter. Special teams not doing well. It was just a complete disaster. Always chalk this up to the Demetrius Harris and Cordell Patterson game. Harris got plays called for him more so than Komet, and the same thing with Cordero Patterson.
Yep.
Why?
I can't answer that.
Why are they getting plays called for them?
Like, Patterson's great covering kicks, returning kicks. That's it. That is it. That's all you're getting.
Then when you want a first down, you go, okay, Wims, you got one play for you. You want you to get a first down. You're short of the first down, Javon Wims. You got one shot. One shot to get the first down. You couldn't get it.
How big is Javon Wims? Danny, Javon Wims, 6'5"?
6'4", 6'5", yeah.
Okay. Jalen Ramsey hit him, and he went backwards like he was flying back to Chicago.
He's 6'3".
How heavy? 220? 210? He's a strong dude.
221.
Okay. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He hit Jalen Ramsey like it was a brick wall. Bam! And then they don't know if they're going to challenge it because they gave him the spot the first down. And you're watching in the hood, Gabe. You know he didn't get that. No chance.
No.
Okay, how about getting to the line and getting a playoff? Can we do that? Guys, let's go. Hurry up before they can challenge. Nope, we're going to take our time. Let's huddle up. Red flag. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, and on top of that, Cap, the undisciplined play. You saw that stat early, right? Mm-hmm. 28 false starts on Ifedi going back to 2016.
Brutal.
Most penalized defense in the National Football League, the Chicago Bears.
28 penalties. Akeem Hicks, the most penalties of any defensive player in the NFL. What do you have, two unsportsmanlikes last night? He hit the quarterback.
Yeah.
And then he had the one where he dove the pile on. At the goal line.
Terrible game for 96.
Terrible. Ball's on the ground and he's standing there. Dive! Alex Brown wore 96. He's like, come on, 96. What are you doing to my number?
It's unbelievable.
And he's got ability. Let's go to Scott in the West Side. Hey, Scott.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good morning.
Sup?
Man, I mean, I guess I'm sitting here listening. I just want to tell everybody, relax. I mean, last night was definitely not, you know, something to bang our chest over and be proud of. But at the end of the day, we're still 5-2. At some point, as fans, we just got to realize, look, man, these guys come to work every day with the plan to be better, to get better, to do better. I mean, we're 5-2. Let these guys figure it out.
Are you calling from Lake Forest this morning, Scott? You call from Lake Forest?
Listen.
This is. Let me tell you what this is. This is what it sounds like in a big market, a major market sports radio show in the morning that talks about a team that underachieved. That's what it sounds like. So you don't get to tell me to relax when a team underachieved on all three phases. You don't get to tell me to relax.
You know what? It's 16 games, and every team in the NFL, no one goes out gangbusters every 16 weeks. Even those teams, even when they find ways to win, the good teams, they still struggle. And last night, our team struggled. So everybody's like, oh, fire this person. Oh, this guy can't call plays. He can't do this. Relax.
But this play-calling thing has gone on. Scott, this play-calling thing has been abysmal for a few weeks. No. It was abysmal last year. And we're finding out it wasn't all Mitchell Trubisky.
Well, you know what? We're still 5-2, fellas.
We know that.
You can point the finger.
We know that. We read the paper just like you do, Scott.
We have the losses in this league. Wins and losses, and our team is still 5-2. The playoffs started today. We'll be in. And as the season continues to go, at some point, we have to believe with the players in place, with the coaching staff that we have in place, they're going to have to find a way to figure it out. Now, at the end of the season, if we end up losing every the rest of the games and we didn't make the playoffs, we bomb out, okay, everybody can freak out and fire everybody. But right now, relax.
No, you relax. And we appreciate the phone call.
R-E-L-A-X.
No, you relax. Again, you're putting these high school comments on a professional football team. We're not trying to figure out whether or not Farragut can go downstate. That's not what this is. I love this. We're 5-2, man. You just got to relax. All we're talking about is the game last night and how you beat. See, the thing that frustrates me the most about losing is when you beat yourself. The other team's good, too. We gave the Rams defense credit. We gave the Rams offense credit. But you beat yourself with penalties. You beat yourself with play calling. And that's what we're talking about every day on this show. So the idea that we look at 5-2 and you hold it up like it's something special, yeah, they're 5-2. We know that. But we have to be able to address the issues so the Bears can be able to fix it coming up on Sunday against New Orleans. You got to understand, we're in a major market. This idea that we have to sit back and allow, they lost the game, so I guess it's okay. Listen, if I wanted to work in Phoenix, I'd get myself some sunscreen.
Guys, that's my bad. I wrote Scott on the call screen, or I meant to write Khalil.
Wow.
Jeez.
They were pathetic last night.
We're talking about, just talking about how you beat yourself. It's one. Hey, the other team was good, too.
No
question.
But don't
beat yourself with penalties.
Agreed. Stupid penalties. Dumb penalties. Fourth and one. I think they picked it up when Nick Foles snuck. We get a false start.
Bears lost and are now 5-2. Let's sit back and relax and get your thoughts. Relax.
312-332-3776.
And then like that easy listening sports radio. Easy listening on LIT.
Let's go to Q on the south side. Q man.
Hey, Captain, what's going on?
Good morning.
It's a horrible day.
No. Easy listening on Bears Talk. What is on your mind?
Yeah, I'm calling Sweaty because I watched the game last night, too, and just like I keep saying, the Bears need a number one or number two receiver. Allison Robinson cannot do it by himself. The Bears keep trying to win with these no-name receivers and trying to win with a rookie. The Bears have no receivers that can take over a game. Ramsey was all over Robinson last night, even though he caught a few balls and everything. But the Bears don't have another dominant receiver that can move the ball. That's what Nick Foles needs, is another dominant receiver. I know our offensive line is terrible right now, but we need another dominant receiver. And another key point is, I'm trying to put a missing person report out on Danny Trevathan. Where is Danny Trevathan at?
Yeah, he's looked a little aged. And by the way, I watched the game.
A little what?
Aged.
Okay.
Q, thanks, man.
All right.
I was watching the Raider game the other day, and there's Nick Kwiatkowski back from injury making plays.
Choices you make.
The choices you make.
What did I tell you before the season?
You wanted Kwiatkowski.
Because?
Because he makes plays.
Younger asset.
Yep.
You got more room to grow.
No question.
But what do I know?
And a guy they loved up there. Wasn't like he, one guy's a malcontent. No, they were both loved.
Now, Trevathan's got, he's a guy that is a leader in that locker room.
I understand that.
But I'm just saying I would have preferred the younger asset.
Back to the phones, 312-332-3776, plus Keyshawn Johnson on Matt Nagy's play calling.
Oh, no.
That's next.
This is Cap'n J Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap J Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Rolling on. This isn't your Giddy Ants morning show. This is Chicago. Guys are getting paid a lot of money. They're going to get held accountable, whether that's Ryan Pace, whether that's Matt Nagy, Nick Foles, Akeem Hicks, because the whole lot of them were awful last night.
Yeah, we know this. We know the Bears are 5-2. We understand the record. All we're pointing out is that the same mistakes that we saw last night, we don't want to see them against the Saints and moving forward. You want them to be able to get better offensively. You don't want to have a leaky defense, and you also want to get better on special teams. That's all. But, you know, it's our job, and it's us as fans to be able to talk about this, and hopefully that's the culmination of a win coming up on Sunday.
312-332-3776. Keyshawn Johnson, our teammate, he was on the show last week.
Uh-oh.
Take a listen to this.
There's plays in your call sheet that you just stick with, even though the guy may be getting beat down. They just will call them because eventually it comes around as a positive in the run game as well, where we all sit at home and we say to ourselves, Jay, why is he calling that play? I don't know, it's 2 yards. They're not getting anywhere. It's like eventually it's going to pop. And sometimes that happens like that. So, you know, you got to think that Matt Nagy, along with Nick Foles, kind of know exactly what it is that they want to do from an offensive standpoint and feel good about it.
That was key this morning, talking about Matt Nagy and the play calling.
Yeah, makes sense.
All right, let's go to Steven in Columbus. Hey, Steven, what's up, man?
Steven
going once. Steven going twice. Steven's gone.
Oh,
I think he was just getting ready.
Well,
I just started to push the button. Sorry, Steven.
Sorry, we're on until 10. We got time for you, pal.
Scott in South Elgin.
Call back.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Scotty.
All right, so I'm just going to keep banging this drum. Nagy is a fraud, and that's just that's all there is to it. There's no other way to say it. This team is second in the league in yards per passing attempt at 6.1. You want to know who's the worst? The Jets. And they're trying to lose football games. The Chicago Bears have one rushing touchdown. You want to know who's worse? No one. The Jets are second with two. And again, they're trying to lose football games. Explosive plays, which Nagy talks about all the time. They have one play of over 40 yards. I'm going to start having a trend here. You know who's right there with them? The New York freaking Jets. They have no win. The Chicago Bears are a fraudulent 5-2 football team. It's just going to get worse from here because the schedule is going to get harder. And I don't know what Ryan Pace was smoking in the offseason when he looked at this offensive line and says, yep, we got Jermaine Ifedi. It's fit. I'll hang up and listen, but I'm not happy.
Scott, appreciate the call. Look, whew, this falls at the feet of two guys, the head coach and the general manager. Ryan Pace has brought in some very good defensive players. His track record on the offensive side of the football, it's among the three or four worst in the National Football League. Period. There, you cannot spin it any other way, Jonathan. He has failed putting an offensive line together. Mm-hmm. He has failed putting playmakers on the field with the exception of Allen Robinson. He has failed at the quarterback spot, the most crucial spot in American professional sports. And when you add it all up, unless this team fixes that offensive line and they can be a solid team and win 10 football games, there could be massive change coming to Lake Forest, Illinois. No, massive.
I can see it. I can absolutely see it. What you want to do is try to figure out how you can get better moving forward. Last, toward the end of the press conference for Foles last night, he said, you know, this doesn't mean that this is the end of the season. Like, we still have more games to be able to figure this out. And Nick is right. You do have more time to figure this out. But you've got to be able to be on the same page. The head coach and the quarterback have to be on the same page. I'm worried, based on what we heard last night from the Monday Night Football broadcast. I mean, the perception is that Foles and Nagy are on the same page. But based on Greasy, what he said, which might have been an off-the-record conversation, mm-hmm, I'm concerned that there's not a divide, but a lack of communication. Nagy wants to do things his way. Foles sees something different when he's on the field. I trust my quarterback because that guy's a Super Bowl champion. And maybe from a number standpoint, he's no better than Trubisky, but he's the one out there. I have a set of plays, and I have two or three options. So if I can allow that Super Bowl champion to audible or do what he thinks is best, and if it's that tight, Nagy's play sheet to what Foles does, then that's no different than when Mitch was out there.
Correct.
Did Mitch have the autonomy to be able to audible and do other things out there? Don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't know that. I shouldn't say yes or no because we have never been privileged to that. I do know Mitch has processing issues, going through reads and looking at a defense and going, 54 is the Mike linebacker, and we've got to switch this. We got to kill this play and get to that play. He's more athletic.
Mm-hmm.
He has a stronger arm. He makes plays with his feet, but he doesn't think the game the way a 9-year veteran like Nick Foles does.
Foles explained it in the press. You watched the press conference, so yep. He explained it as if, like, okay, so Nagy says, what about this play? And Foles like, no, I don't know. Wait, let's do this play. Do they only have two or three plays? Like, can Foles say, what about the other things that we practiced? How about play C or D? Or is it just what Nagy says? It's either these two plays or nothing.
Now, from what I've been told with Nick, he's got full autonomy, full complement of plays. There's a ton of them on the call sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt will say, what do you think of this? No chance. We don't have enough time behind this line with Aaron Donald right there. We can't run that play. Okay, tell me what you want to run. And they have he has the ability, kill plays at the line, change protections, the whole deal.
Yeah.
It's just not working. It's not. But we're finding out, everybody who wanted to crap all over Mitchell Trubisky wasn't really all on the quarterback. Again, I'm not defending his play. He had his moments where he was awful. I kept screaming from the mountaintops, Nick Foles isn't who you guys think Nick Foles is. I know he won the Super Bowl MVP. He got on a heater like you and I at the crap table in Vegas.
Sure.
Nick Foles is a very pedestrian quarterback and has been throughout his career, with the exception of one run with
the Eagles.
Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
In the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. 312-332-3776. Rideshare Rob's in Park Ridge. He's next. What's up, Rideshare?
Good morning, Cap. I'm in Skokie now. I just passed McNally Park, and I hope that brings
good.
That
was my old Little League. Yeah.
My old Little League, too, Cap. That's why I brought it up.
There you go.
I've got two quick points, if you allow me. One, and you just touched on it, Cap. I can't believe the Bears will make massive changes, even if they crap the rest of the season, because don't both Nagy and Pace have 2 years left on their contract? I can't see the Bears eating that. What I do think, if they're lousy, is that they're going to force Nagy to bring in a play caller. And I'm going to hang up and listen to your thoughts on those comments. Good luck and stay healthy to everybody.
Appreciate it. Here's the deal. So Ryan Pace's contract is through the 21 season. Mm-hmm. So to buy him out, I don't know what he's making. I'm going to guess $3 million. Guess. Total guess. $2 million. Yeah. I mean, he's making, to a team worth $4 billion, that's tip money. You can buy that out. Matt Nagy, his contract has got to be, what, one more year than that?
I would say so.
So you, if you choose to move on, you can absolutely afford to do anything you feel you need to do. Matt signed a five-year deal. He's in year three. He's got 2 years left. Probably making $4 million a year.
See, I don't foresee any of that. I don't see that at the end of the year.
What if you looked up and they went from 5-1 to 6-10, 7-9?
You got to consider it.
No question about it.
If this is a playoff, see, I don't know how George and Virginia look at this. Is this one of these lovey 10-6 situations where it's like, you know what? Maybe we've got some Nagy fatigue. We're going to let you and Ryan Pace go. I don't know how they look at it. That's why I'm patient enough to see how this season will progress and see how it ends. I don't foresee those two leaving Lake Forest at the end of the season.
I don't either.
But let's see how the season plays out.
Correct.
We'll see. But off to a good start in 5-2, there's no doubt. They accomplished a lot so far. But those same tendencies offensively continue to rear its ugly head. You realize that if they hired you as the head coach, that you have to pay for the ineptitude offensively for generations. Mm-hmm. Like, you had to come in as like this guru. Like, Dave, you got to be able to help us. David, you got to help us with this offense because Trestman couldn't do it and Nagy couldn't do it. And all the, I mean, for years.
How many years did Lovey try and get the right offensive coordinator, failed every time?
Yeah, he tried. He went to the top shelf and got March and still couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it.
So, I mean,
couldn't do it. 312-332-3776. How about Steven in Columbus? Because he is back.
Hey, there Steven. He is. Steve.
Hey, sorry about that earlier. My apologies, John.
All good. All good, kid. Fire away.
Look, the offense is broken. The offensive line is broken. I think we need to start using the F word. Not the F word that we use casually, but we're talking about fraud. F-A-U-A-U-D. To describe Nagy's play calling and his ability to grasp the personnel. I think Nagy himself is finding himself in a rock and a hard places right now, because admitting that his play calling skill isn't working and then giving up a play call like Adam Gase did, even with the Jets.
Yeah,
it's simply admitting defeat. And I think, I don't know if it's a toxic masculine culture or whatever, I think Nagy just can't seem to grasp that. The why part that he keeps harping is everything points towards him. Forget about details. This is basically about the execution. And for him to maybe admit that would sound like a defeat. But think about it. His mentor, Andy Reid, did him a favor several years ago. So there is nothing wrong with the admitting that, okay, maybe something needs to change to quell the rising tide. And whether you want to believe what Nick Foles said about play calling skills, I think it had to be said, because we all know the animated conversation that he had with Nagy 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. or 3 weeks ago in Tampa Bay.
Right.
It's starting to creep up. And it makes so much sense now, whether Foles wanted to admit that that's how he wanted to say it. But now that you have a gun pointed at it from the Foles, the defense, the fans, and the media, Nagy has no more choices left. This is all on him. You have no more Trubisky to blame. That's all I got to say.
Appreciate the call, Steven.
Well, you know, you watch the Kansas City situation, Cap, and I think it's pretty clear. Somebody was helping Andy Reid with the offensive play calling, and somebody was getting Andy Reid coffee. I think we're starting to figure out which one was which.
312-332-3776. There is a season in Bears history, not that far back, where they were at a crossroads. And that head coach said to his team in a spirited meeting, okay, everyone's down on us. We are going to make the playoffs. And they changed how they approached offense. I'll relay that story to you and more of your calls next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Gross. I was just texting with a good friend of mine, Jim.
Gross.
He said,
gross.
He said,
gross.
I wonder, buddy, what Nick Foles' QB rating was before garbage time. I said, well, his passer rating for the game was 66.8. Before the Rams went to prevent, oh my. Pathetically bad.
Welcome to Chicago.
Gross.
Gross.
All right. 312-332-3776. I teased the story, so I'm going to start with that, and then we'll go to these calls. So the guys I was working with last night were telling a story that in 2005.
Who'd you work with last night?
Alex Brown, Lance Briggs, Dave Wannstedt, Olin Cruz.
Oh, what did I say? Oh, David, what did I say? Oh,
Rex has a neck.
If it wasn't for those two plays.
So
oh.
That football team.
David.
Averaged 16.3 points per game. They were one of the worst offenses in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
They had a really good defense, a better defense than this crew, but this crew's good. They started with a 9-7 loss to the Washington football team.
Yep.
They beat Detroit, then they lost to the Bengals 24-7, at Cleveland 20-10. They were 1-3, and Lovey called a team meeting. And told them, I guarantee you we're going to the playoffs. And everyone said, it's over. 1-3? You start 1-3, you're done. Done. And Lovey said, we're going to change the way we play football. If you guys have to shut them out, then you better shut them out. If that's what it's going to take, then this defense better shut them out. If that's what it takes. We're going to run the hell out of the football. We are going to fix our blocking issues. And we are going to find a way to win football games.
That's the 05 team, right?
That was 05.
Okay.
That team from 1-3 won 10 of their next 12 to finish 11-5 and go to the playoffs. And I read to you how many times they ran the ball. After that 1-3 start, 30, 29, 29, 32, 40 carries, 31, 33, 31, 18, 32, 33, 33. They ran the crap out of the ball. And they took care of it. They didn't turn it over.
I wish the Bears had a Thomas Jones back there and that offensive line. Offensive line wasn't great then either.
P Valley, maybe come back.
Maybe that could be the case. But just think about that. The offense was so putrid that they said, you know what? We'll score and we'll shut out the opposition. It's that urgent. And they went to the playoffs.
Back to the phones. Rob is listening on our app. Hey, Rob.
Hey, how are you this morning?
What's up?
Want to talk about Matt Nagy, mm-hmm. Joe Madden comparison. Mm-hmm. Didn't we criticize Madden late in his tenure for the Cubs' lack of fundamentals, lack of accountability with the players, police themselves? What's Akeem Hicks still doing out on the field? And what does he find so funny, mistake after mistake? I know we talk about it being 2020, and you might hurt a player's feelings sitting his behind on the bench, but that's where he belongs. And somebody needs to ask him, what was so funny after all those stupid plays? It's embarrassing to be a professional and act like that. That's all I got to say.
Appreciate the call. Appreciate you listening.
Yeah, he was incredulous. The look that was on his face.
Well, did you see the play where their fullback is carrying like 8 of our tacklers from like the 12-yard line down to the 2?
Brown.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Akeem Hicks is laying on the ground. And he's laying on the ground. And then he looks up and decides he's going to jump on the dog pile, 15-yard penalty. Now, it's only half the distance to the goal, but it speaks to a lack of discipline.
There's no doubt that's a lack of discipline on this football team.
So
you saw the Ed Holmes stat, right? You saw Eric Ed Holmes said that Akeem Hicks has 17% of the Bears' penalties this season.
Brutal.
17% of the penalties have gone to Akeem Hicks.
Okay, so would it have been out of line for the head coach or for Pagano, the defensive coordinator, to pull him. Mario Edwards or Bilal Nichols or Jonathan Hood, you're in. And Akeem's standing there stewing, and you walk over and go, I'm not going to tolerate any more undisciplined play. Take that.
Right, JR?
Well, another stat last night, as long as you guys are throwing out stats, he was double-teamed second most to Aaron Donald. So that's probably why you keep him out there, is because he draws that extra defender.
But it opens it up for Mac and others to be able to get to Goff if they can.
But my point is, at some point when you're getting your head kicked in, you're being steamrollered, isn't that the best time to try and make a point?
Yeah, I get it. By the way, Goff was sacked once yesterday.
Take that. That was Khalil, I think, got it.
Yeah.
And then you had Robert Quinn with the strip.
Yes.
Yes.
That's correct.
Let's go to Patrick on the south side of the city. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, morning, guys. Hey, yeah, you know, I just kind of wanted to talk about Nagy, obviously, as well. You know, I sit here and I think about it, and I'm like, you know, how many ex-like quarterbacks are actually NFL head coaches? And I really couldn't come up with too much. And I kind of just want to get you guys' thoughts on if you think that his failed NFL career or wannabe NFL career coming out of Delaware and whatnot and having to go to the whatever league he went to, if that has a lot to do with the fact of why he's so stubborn and why he wants to try to prove a point to be like, you know, it's almost like he's living vicariously through Trubisky or Foles, and he's trying to be like, look, this is the quarterback I could have been because I can run my own offense. And then a quick question, too, for you guys before I let you go. At what point does Foles just go completely rogue on Nagy and just do what he wants to do out there? I mean, he's in a rhythm.
That will never happen. That can't happen without the blessing of the coach.
Why not? I mean, clearly, whatever Nagy is doing, Foles is in a rhythm, and you can see him. He's saying, let's go, let's go, let's go. And he's looking over at the sideline, and Nagy's like, no, let's this is ridiculous.
Because Nick Foles is not the head coach, and appreciate your call. As soon as he decides I'm not listening to anything they say, they're just going to pull him out of the game then. And then you have a mutiny going on. I mean, that's not who Nick Foles is.
Tyler, you're going to skip right over Mitch. Yeah. Right to Tyler.
Tyler Bray, you're in. Let's go to Eddie. Eddie's next. Hey, Eddie, what's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, E?
I was calling because if Cody Whitehead is healthy, should the Bears consider putting him back at guard and keeping the guy that replaced him at center?
Sam Mustipher?
Yes.
Yeah, I just don't know if Cody Whitehead is healthy. I mean, he went out, slammed his helmet down, went in the tent, and never came back with a calf injury.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's sad.
So, we'll see. Look, Cody Whitehead is a good player. Mm-hmm. He's not a great player. He's a second-round pick. He's a nice piece. James Daniels, I trust Olin's judgment. He loves James Daniels. Unfortunately, he tore his pec.
Yeah.
So he's done for the year. It is what it is. Can you go out and make a deal? We've talked about that with Albert Breer. Hoodie and I guessed who you could go out and get. I just don't know if it is worth it. Does one really good addition on the O-line give you enough bang for your buck that it's worth doing? I don't know. 312-332-3776. More of your calls straight ahead.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Wide out.
I have a good question for you.
Shoot.
I'm going to save it for tomorrow. Take that. 312-332-3776.
And then like the 24-hour tease, that always works in the business.
There you go.
Yep.
Just learned it at Mr. Ali, Tommy.
Mr. Ali, yes. Go see him.
Let's go to Dan in Arlington Heights. He's next. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Cap. Hey, Jay Hood. A couple points here. First off, I don't want to say he dominated because I think it's difficult for a punter to really dominate, but Johnny Hecker made the Bears look silly last night.
So
repeatedly. I think Ted Ginn, he should be packing up his locker. The other person that I really want to pick on is Charles Leno. I mean, he's just not great. He couldn't block a Twitter troll, you guys. He missed an assignment last night on Littleton. fourth and goal, he went unblocked. He was just dancing around the line with really poor footwork, and Littleton came in unblocked, got goals, and that could have been a real turning point of the fourth quarter. I think we're paying Leno way too much money for him to not be doing a ton. I know we're already thin at a line, but Leno needs to go. He's a huge liability from both a penalty and an overall blocking standpoint.
So, like Charles
it.
Leno,
I like it.
Look, you don't have another option there. If they did, he'd be playing.
Sure.
So you want to move on from him after the season? You're not going to release Charles Leno today because you don't have Jimbo Covert sitting on the sideline going, I'm healthy, I feel good, put me in, I'm a Hall of Famer. It is what it is, man. Like, I'm advocating, if you truly look in the mirror and you're in the executive suite and you go, you know what, if we go get a really good guard, we can at least run the ball a little bit better. Okay. What's the price to get Joe Tooney or Kevin Zeitler or some veteran guy out there? If it's not extreme, I'd listen. If not, I'm keeping my draft capital, and I'm fixing this in the offseason, and it may be a new GM fixing it. The way things are trending, he's got 1 year left on his deal. Hey, man, there may be massive, massive change coming up there.
You know, when Lou Holtz coached the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the one thing that he didn't like schemers. He'd run around and he would be walking around and he goes, like, I know, see, coach, you're a schemer. You're a schemer. He'd hate schemers. What he cared about is production and plays.
That's it.
He hated guys that was on his coaching staff. There he is. He's a schemer. Are you doing the scheming? What? You're a schemer. Like, he hated schemers.
Right.
What he wanted is, he goes, he wanted production. He wanted plays. So it's easy. I could sit here and make a case and like, oh, Juan Castillo, what is he doing with this offense? I could do that this morning. But ultimately, it's up to about the production and the players, right? It's the choices that you make, right, when you're
correct.
Ryan Pace.
Correct.
It's the choices that you make.
Correct.
And it's not about the scheme. It's about the production or lack thereof.
Agreed.
It is embarrassing that the Bears can't run the football better than what they have. It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. I mean, and we're finding out it wasn't on Harry Hiestand. I don't think it's on Juan Castillo. They're smart, well-respected football guys. It might be time to look at the general manager and go, okay, I'll let you be GM of my defense. Offensively, your track record is awful. Awful.
Hecker is going to get special teams player of the week.
Oh, God.
I don't think there's any question about it.
And as he ran down the field with the last one that landed at the tour, the next I was like, I just want to punch that guy.
By the way, Patterson just getting, you know, it's one thing. I don't want him in the offensive system. I know that Nagy has to have him because you got to have a set of Harris and Patterson plays. You just have to have it, right? You just got to have it. Despite trying to get Komet right and get Graham his touches and make sure Anthony Miller is, like, never mind about those guys, your core. Let's get the third string tight end his touches. Let's get a special teams ace his touches on offense. It makes no sense to me. Patterson was able to get to the 30, the 18, the 19, the 20, and the 25 yesterday. Not great field position all across. I mean, the 30 you'll take. But when you're in the teens with yours, when you have a struggling offense, it really stands out a lot more.
Correct. And I asked that question to the guys, and they said, here's the one difference. You know your offense is so bad, and you know that guy has a history of taking ones to the house. You roll the dice because you think, well, we can't score on offense. Let's let him bring it out.
But then when you only get to 19.
Then you're like, oh, wish we were at the 25.
It's just, you know.
All right. Let's go to Marlon on the north side. Hey, Marlon.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Marlon?
Good, good. So I just want to say we are 5-2. We have probably the worst offensive line in the league, and our running back is probably the worst in the league. Like, I don't think he has 50 yards yet this season, and we're 5-2. And then you take a look at, like, Nick Foles. Like, he came in late. He didn't get a preseason. So I think we only really, like, 2 games into real regular season without COVID. Everybody's panicking. I say, calm down, let Nagy and Foles do their thing.
Let's not comment on it. All right, so we're going to fold up our shop and we're going to hand it over to Dan Le Batard and Stu Gatz at 10 o'clock. Let's stop talking Bears football. Let's stop holding them accountable, Marlon. So we're going to hand it over. Carmen and Yurko are going to go home. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have Dan Le Batard and Stu Gatz, followed by Greeny, followed by Max Kellerman. We're just going to do that. We're going to roll it up like we're ESPN Omaha and just not hold the Bears accountable. So good night from Chicago.
No shot.
Well, that's what Marlon's saying. Like, let's not hold them accountable.
That's a no shot.
Okay, all right. Coming up, it'll be Golic Jr. and Shanae Agumike as they talk about the Cowboys.
Glad you pronounced it.
Of course, I would know. Nonetheless, it's my drum beat. I would know.
Can I pull the curtain back for 1 second?
More pulling the curtain back.
Okay, Danny has to answer all these calls. And I mean, we've had calls all day long. Danny. And love it. Danny tweeted this, and it made me smile. And I know there are days Danny gets calls where there's insanity on the other end. Danny, did somebody really text or call you and say we should trade Anthony Miller for Deshaun Watson?
Yes. What do you think? I make this stuff up just for the sake of Twitter?
Yes.
Wow.
But my name's not David Kaplan. That's a real tweet. We didn't even get to your Twitter. We didn't even get to your Twitter clownery from yesterday.
Clownery!
We'll save that for tomorrow. 24-hour tease.
Clownery.
Wow.
Oh!
Just prepare a reason why you needed to wear a mask in your own house.
Because I like it, Yurko. Take that. I like the mask.
And as you said,
you know what? The next time I decide to stalk your house, I'm going to wear the mask too.
That's great. That's great, Cap.
I may even put on that bodysuit that made me look awful.
When the police arrest you for coming within the restraining order, you'll at least be masked in the precinct.
The police in the area know him. You have to worry about me doing that. That'd be a different story. And Barney Miller would come over and arrest me.
I think he played for the Bears.
I think he's gone off the rails. Is that Zoe Spellman again?
I think it's Zoe Spellman.
I thought he was taller.
Oh, my God. He's let himself go.
He used to be this fit defensive.
Oh,
man, what happened?
I don't know what happened. I think something happened. It's okay. Let him go.
All right. Crosstalk in 2 minutes.
Take that.
Take that.